May 5th through the 11th, get close to the future legends in women's golf. The Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic returns to TPC Scottsdale's Champions Course. Brought to you by Carlisle Companies. The biggest purse on the Epson Tour means the best in women's golf will be here. May 5th through the 11th at TPC Scottsdale's Champions Course. Go to CarlisleLPGA.com for tickets. Be there for the best.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling so good. I feel so good.
Greetings and welcome, folks. Ray Adams here on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. That's right, Lifestyle Show on right now, right here. Where are we? Well, we're streaming on Golf News Net. And all you have to do is go to thegolfnewsnet.com and you go into the radio tab and you're going to find Great American Golf on Saturday mornings there, every Saturday morning. And it airs three or four times during the day. And then the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show will begin airing tonight. Right here on Monday night, and then it'll air a couple more times. From there, the shows go over. I was asked again today, so let me say it. Then the shows within a couple days are going to go live forever on other platforms. And those platforms are iHeartRadio and Apple iTunes and Amazon Music and TuneIn. And well, there's just so many of them, but those are probably the biggest ones. And as we get all of that situated, as this transition continues, very quickly, I'll let you know exactly how to get over there and what to do and to find the shows. I was today, and I'm joined by Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, and of course, Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America, historian emeritus. Gentlemen, tonight is going to be a fun show, lots to talk about. Certainly, we're going to get to Justin Thomas here in a bit, and we'll get to the Heritage, and we're going to get to some other things. But before I get going, Craig, I'm going to ask you, because I know that Bob hasn't.
Yeah.
And I say I know he hasn't. You know, you never know with Denny. He's everywhere. He's gone everywhere, done everything, knows everybody. But have you been to the Thunderbird at Papago Golf Course, the Thunderbird ASU Training Center? All right. Have you been there?
I have not.
Oh, my unbelievable. You can't believe it. My mouth was hanging open. So I've seen it a million times over there over the last however long. And the reason why is because I love Papago. I grew up going there and playing. My parents would drop me off on Saturday morning. I'd play 36, 54 holes as a 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kid. And because we grew up in Tempe, and it was right on the way to my parents' work. Okay. So it's very sentimental. It's beautiful. It's in the Papago Mountains. But Craig, you've got to get over there and see this place, and I can get you in. I now know everybody. Missy Farr is the ASU ladies golf coach. Coach Thurman, I think, is the men's golf coach. But this facility was ranked number one golf training facility, university golf training facility in the country for quite a while. It's now probably still within the top five. But the attention to detail, and Missy Farr told me this today. We had a long talk about a lot of different things because we were there filming for what? Two things, the big Epson Tour event coming up in Phoenix in May. And we'll be talking about that a little bit. And we have their radio ads now running on the show. And I love that. But we were there filming for the Epson Tour a little bit. And then we were also filming the Carlisle Performance Center. Carlisle Companies has made a big community investment into men and women's golf by donating to and creating with Arizona State University golf teams. the Carlisle Performance Center. I mean, they have every toy. I literally felt like I was in a small version of the PGA merchandise show. It's amazing what they've got, from the Trackmans to the quads by, what is it, Forsythe, Craig? And it's just incredible. All of the other things they have, the big doors that open, the fairways they shoot straight down toward the Papago Mountains. It's just absolutely beautiful. Of course, fully air conditioned. And you got to get over and see it. I can only tell you the investment Carlisle Companies has made in the Carlisle Performance Center there. And then just all of the other, it's a big building. It has just chart after chart after sign, all of their trophies, their awards over the decades, all the great players, the Hall of Fame. The Ryder Cup play, everybody from Arizona State University, men and women. And then they have art all over the walls where an artist has painted many, many of the great players. It's just an amazing place. I'm bragging on it. Nobody's paying me a dollar. I don't care. I just absolutely had a ball there today. It's a walking, living museum of golf. It really is. Bob, you would love it. It, as a historian, it is nothing but history. Of which I know you know a lot, but there were many things I learned there today. So I don't know if anybody from the public gets to go see it. I know that I now can go, I guess, if I get clearance. And I know the coaches and the people that work there. And it's it. We had a ball there today. Big film team, big production going on. One of the Epson Tour players, Ashley Minnie, was there today working with Missy Farr. And there was a lot of filming going on, and she is off to play, sponsored by Carlisle Companies. She's off to play this week in California, and the next couple of events she'll be playing in, and then of course she's going to be playing in the biggest prize money event on the Epson Tour in 2025, and that is of course coming up May 8, 9, 10, and 11, and it is the Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic. You got to get your tickets. You go to CarlisleLPGA.com. Some more videos will be going up about that with some different people on my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube sites, and maybe even over on LinkedIn. Go to Match Play TV. All right, I wanted to get that in because, folks, we are surrounded by some unbelievable golf teams at the Arizona State University and their training center. It's very cool. Very, very cool. More to come about that. All right. Dr. Bob and Craig, I mean, I was, Craig, sorry, I just was not happy with the way that the Heritage turned out. And I'm very glad for Justin Thomas. But I was so disappointed in the putting. It just, he wasn't even close during the playoff. And I know, Craig, you're going to weigh in on that and you'll correct me. And we know there's a lot of pressure. But Bob, tell me a little bit about your take on the event.
Well, for the second week in a row with a playoff determining a champion, there's a popular winner. And Justin had waited 1,064 days, they tell us, since his last win, which was at Southern Hills. I watched him win that championship and at the tail end, and that was at the playoff as well. And at in the PGA Championship, he's now got 16 tour wins. And it's interesting to note that he's tied for 54th in all-time wins with the likes of Jackie Burke Jr., Ralph Goudal, Marco Mira, and Tom Weisskopf. I thought that was interesting that where he stands, even after that drought that he's had. But Justin certainly earned it, played solid, didn't make any big mistakes at the end. He took what the course was given in him. And he was just a precision when he needed it to be. And I was just happy for Justin. And obviously, it's the first win since he's been a father and as a husband.
Well, Justin Thomas has been knocking on the door, and I think JT is one of my favorite players. I'll never forget interviewing him along with his dad at Pebble Beach at the US Open a number of years ago. A lot of fun. Paul Casey and I were hanging out at that US Open as well. Not name dropping, I was interviewing players, and it's just the way you do when you're media and you're at big events like that. But comes from a great family, nice people, and a lot of fun. Jordan Spieth too, and his family. But when you look at Justin Thomas, Craig, what is his game weakness? Where is he in his game that he needs to be working on certain things? We all know that Rory left the Masters. Yes, he won, but we've also been told that there's things he needs to be doing. He's got work to do. And I've heard that on the last week or so from different analysts and people talking about the win, that Rory still has work to do. I think you said that, Craig. But what about Justin Thomas? Where is his game? Now he has this nice win, elevated event. What about it? Did we lose Craig? I think we may have a little technical difficulty. Bob, you might want to pick up. We will be looking for Craig here in a moment, coming back with us.
Okay.
Bob, go ahead.
I just noticed that he's had a not only a balky putter, but he's just been offline sometimes on his driver. He's an excellent driver normally when he's in the groove. He's got that pause at the top that I like to see, and he's just have a couple of those things that back and forth that cost him a chance and victories down the stretch. What interesting to note in this tournament. His first round of 61 is a ninth course record or tying record he's had on tour. Not many people can say that. Ninth time. And his second round, if we know that he called a one-stroke penalty on himself when the ball moved in a way in an area that he asked for officials on. No one saw it but him. He called a one-stroke penalty. It obviously was related back to the legend of Bob Jones, who said, you might as well congratulate me from not robbing a bank for calling a penalty on myself, you know? And I thought that was interesting that Justin had that happen. And also, this was a tournament, Ray, where the range finders were brought up, and that didn't speed up play at all. That didn't speed up play at all. The final pairing took 3 hours and 57 minutes. And, I just, it still mystifies me why we can't have a smoother, faster golf. I thought the player that finished second to Justin, Novak, plays fast. I thought he was pretty quick.
Well, I was expecting a lot more. Now, not that I'm not happy that JT won. That's fine. I mean, the playoff is the playoff. It is what it is. But Andrew Novak was not even close in that playoff putt. The ball wasn't even, and it wasn't like some long 40-foot putt or something. But I mean, that ball was not even close. And I wrote to Craig and I said, Craig, I mean, what a terrible finish for Novak. JT earned it. Novak needs to see you for a putting lesson. And I mean, I sent that text to Craig yesterday. I guess I was upset for Novak. Not that I was so much pulling for him to win. Of course, there was a lot more on the line for Novak than there was for JT. I mean, he's already Hall of Fame and Ryder Cup captain and just everything you can imagine for Justin Thomas. So, with that on the line, you'd like to see a young guy Novak win one. But yeah, he just wasn't even close, Bob.
His putt in regulation was worse than on the one in the playoff. I thought that was a makeable one. That veered even not even way to the left of the cup. So I don't know if it was just nerves or what, but I expected him to win it right there.
Yeah, so with that said, let's leave that there. We'll come back and visit maybe a little bit more of the leaderboard. Trying to get back in touch with Craig here in just a moment. But we had another great one. We lost another great one, Bob. And I remember growing up and watching him play golf. Possibly one of the greatest amateur players in history. And I'm talking, of course, about Jay Siegel. And we lost him. And I was saddened by that because I remember Jay Siegel's name playing a lot of great golf. And I don't know whether you followed up on that story or not this week,
I did.
but Jay Siegel dies. And I'm sure you have some maybe some more information, maybe a nugget, a little bit of history about
Well,
Jay
it's
Sigel.
interesting. It's interesting to me, Ray, that Jay Sigel is not in the World Golf Hall of Fame with his resume.
Why
And
not?
well, that's a good question. I wish I could tell you. He has had he appeared as an amateur in 11 consecutive Masters, tied for 26th in 1980. He is a two-time U.S. amateur, nine-time Walker Cup champion, only person in history to win a U.S. amateur and mid-amateur in the same season. 79 British amateur champion, 10-time Pennsylvania amateur, four-time Pennsylvania Open champion, and his not bad for an insurance agent because he never went to the tour. And at the time, he had a freak accident in college. Someone closed a glass door, and he had 72 stitches in his hand and his wrist, and he had to give up going into the tour. A pro at the time, he says probably the best decision he ever made. But I just think it's interesting that. He's went on to win eight after age 50 PGA Tour Champions events.
Yes, he did join the Champions Tour and became a professional.
He famously in the final round of the 1994 GTE West Classic in Ojai, California. Ojai, is that how they pronounce it?
Ojai.
Ojai, excuse me, Ojai. He shot a 62 and he tied Jimmy Colbert in regulation. Then he beat Colbert in a four-hole playoff. That's Jay Sigel, who's not in the World Golf Hall of Fame, and I would campaign for him in a minute.
Well, there's been over the years on this radio show and on Great American Golf, my show on Saturday mornings, there's been lots of talk about this Golf Hall of Fame and how choices are made. And some of them have been great choices to put people in the hall, and others have been somewhat questionable. And I've had guests on, we've talked about it over the years, but, and there's apparently, it's, I don't know that it's a secret society, but it's definitely there's certain ways they go about doing things, and I don't know that it's very public about that. We can certainly revisit it, but I would think that Jay Sigel should be in the World Golf Hall of Fame for all that he did throughout his life, and especially as an amateur player. I mean, you look at that. Who has that kind of an amateur record, Bob? Is there somebody else? Certainly Bobby Jones, but I don't know if there's anybody even close to that.
Not since the 1970s, or has anybody come close to that. And Jay's just got the bigger resume, and we can say all we want about him, but he was a great ambassador of the game. People really liked him. He was just a wonderful competitor.
Well, I'm saddened because Craig let me know that he's having some technical issues there, and we'll be back with Craig. He'll get on the next show, and we'll catch back up with Craig here on Great American Golf this coming Saturday. And make sure you stay tuned for that. We've got a lot of golf going on. Guess who I met out at the ASU Carlisle Performance Center today? Did a little video with her, Ashley Minnie. I mentioned her name, playing on the Upson Tour. But guess who else I met? Got my picture with her and had a wonderful conversation with her. She is a junior at Arizona State University. She's a member of Royal County Down Golf Club. Of course, she's from Ireland, from County Down, here in Phoenix, living and going to school at Arizona State University on the golf team. Her name is Beth Coulter. She has invited me to play Royal County Down. Can you believe it? So if somehow or other I can pick up a sponsor and get over to the Open Championship this summer at Portrush, I'll be headed to County Down. What's interesting and fun is we connected. She's such a nice young lady. Love to hear her wonderful Irish accent or lilt or whatever you call it. And that my great grandmother's from County Down as well. So on that side of the family, I'm Irish from Northern Ireland, County Down. And then on the other side, my grandfather's side, his side, they're all from a little place called St. Andrew, Scotland. Can you believe it? They're from Fife, the Kingdom of Fife over in Scotland. So a little bit of golf there in the blood. And she said, love to host you over at my club. I'm a member. And she is such a wonderful player. ranked in the top 40 female amateurs in the world. Can't remember exactly what rank she has, but she just had a second place finish in a massive collegiate golf tournament last week, but a few weeks ago. And the reason I stopped to talk to her today, she was in to do her golf training, and we were there filming and all that, as I said. She had on this beautiful golf shirt that said Augusta National Women's Amateur. And I said, "Ooh, did you play in that?" And she said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Oh my goodness, Beth, will you please come on the radio show and let's talk all about." And she played at Augusta National on that Friday where, when they played the course. And she said it was unbelievable. She said, "I could go on and on forever." And she's just a very nice young lady. And she is going to come on the show. And we're going to talk about that tournament and talk about her experience at Augusta National. So just wanted to get that in there. And of course, she's an amateur player at ASU. But you never know who you're going to meet when you're out there filming and covering different events and doing different things. And as I said before, I knew that the training center was there, but I had no idea that Carlisle Companies had created the Carlisle Performance Center, as well as being inside the ASU Training Center. Something else. Okay. What about the PGA Tour? We're moving around on subjects. What about the PGA Tour saying that they are going to have four events where they test the range finders? And I've had some opinions over the last couple, 3 days about this. And even today, I had some more opinions. I'm not going to name names or anything. What do you make of it?
Like I said in this program many times, Ray, that's not a quick fix for pace of play.
Well,
I
that's
just
why they're
think,
doing it, right?
yeah,
That's
well,
what they
yeah,
said.
but it's I think it really comes down to what officials will show the gumption when it's time to penalize some of the bigger name players that are taking sweet all this time and just ever to get through a hole. I think that's the only way to do it because it's unfair, like Dottie Pepper said months ago, unfair to the viewers. And I think that's rough.
A range finder, and I was told this by a very in the know person recently, that a range finder is going to give them, their yardage. And they need a lot more information than that. And that's going to come from the caddy and the conversation. So I'm one because the caddy knows the distance anyway. That's their job. And they know it before you get to the shot. They know it because they've been out, they've mapped the course, they know everything. And I've watched them do it. I've walked with them while they do it, professional caddies on different tours. These people work very hard. Yes, we see them on TV. Lugging the golf clubs, but this is the caddies are not only the psychologists with their players, but they're also a walking computer of data to help their players make decisions from club selection to whatever, the weather, the turf, whatever they do. Okay. Because of that, the players are still going to consult their caddies. For me, the range finder. And I know the PGA Tour said they're going to try it on what? The next four events or some four events they're choosing to do it on to see if it speeds up play. I don't see how it can. As a matter of fact, I think it might even slow up play.
Yeah,
Where am I going wrong?
I think you're right, Ray. And like I said, what rules officials are going to stop and penalize people, and then that's important right there. That could cost them a tournament, a two-stroke penalty, or whatever it may be. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm sorry, but I don't see anybody doing it right now, and I don't see it happening. When they do make a decision like that, it causes a national, a major kerfuffle, I guess is the word.
Right. Hey, great news, great news. Craig Renshaw has joined us. We got through that little moment there. Craig, welcome back. Thank you so much.
Thank
And
you, Ray.
let's get you right on to the subject. You hear what we're talking about. What about the PGA Tour going to the rangefinder? Can't wait to hear your take on this. There's Rocco Mediate on my monitor in my broadcast studio. He's in a lot of trouble with me because he promised he'd film a TV show with me. I've called him like 9 times. No, he's a great guy. We're going to get it done, I promise, soon. Coming to you. But anyway, Craig, what about the PGA Tour testing the rangefinder? What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's a nice idea, but I mean, we've done it for what, the last 4 years at the PGA Championship? Have times significantly gone down at the PGA Championship? I mean, I would think if they think it's going to make that big a difference that on the PGA Championship, we would see times have gone down 10 minutes from where they were or something like that. I mean, they're not talking 2 minutes here. They're talking considerably faster. I mean, how much speed do they think that a rangefinder is going to do? And when you hear them give, when you listen to the players give numbers, they're given multiple numbers. Here's your carry number. Here's to the front. Here's this. Here's this. Here's this. The rangefinder shoots an object. So if they can shoot an object to the flag, it'll tell them what it is to the flag. But most players don't always want to know. There, a lot of times the flag is not necessarily the target.
Right.
So it's the other numbers. You got to carry 125 to, you know, the back number is 140. You want something less than 140 to the ridge between 125. You hit it there and well, they go from there. That's what they're looking at. So this is a feeble thing that they're doing that really it's to make things look better than what it really is. And it will have 0 to negative results.
Because they still have to consult their caddies for everything else, correct?
And that's, you know, they really, the players don't have a problem with it. I know we hear about these certain complaints and everything, but they don't have a problem with it or things would change. Yes, you have these slow people. Well, baseball had a problem with slow people, but it was everybody doing it. You have one or two people that are going out and doing it. As Dr. Bob said, you find one person with a penalty, things will start to change. But they have already rules on the book that they don't want to enforce because, oh my gosh, they're going to get a whole lot of trouble or somebody's going to, yeah, that's just the way it is. Then pick up on it, move.
Let's drill down just a little bit more. Why is the PGA Tour so afraid to give a stroke penalty to the players that are dragging it out? Is it because the players' committee, the players' advisory council, whatever it is, they don't want anything to do with it, they won't support it? Or is it because the tour thinks they're going to irritate their players and, they'll bolt to live or something? I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know that anybody does, but why do you think they won't just end the problem forever by giving a stroke penalty after two warnings? Just do it. Bob?
Why do you have to give two warnings, Ray?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to be fair. Maybe you give one warning and the next one is stroke penalty. Craig, go ahead, take off.
I just think, you know, when I've played in events, they have all these things that, you know, we got these people out there that are telling you the distance as far as how far they're hitting it. They have shot length. You could have these people that are sitting there going, I'm getting a warning saying you guys are behind. You better start picking it up. I mean, just like when we tell players, can you see the group in front of you? Nope. And you're out of position. You better start moving. I mean, it's really not this difficult of a proposition. So nobody wants to be the bad guy. And the only way, this is the problem. We've talked about this. It's unrelated. But to the live thing, the only way the PGA Tour and the players decide whether it's a good year or bad year is whether revenues have gone up. If revenues go up, then they're happy. They don't care about anything else. And that's it.
Usually when there's an issue, and I'm not talking sports, it's in sports or it's in life, it's in companies, it's everywhere. If you ever wonder the reason why, it's not just about the money, it's only about the money. So maybe there is something around about the money, and it's going to affect the tour in some regard, and course, the players and, people are going to start being upset about it. We're going to revisit this again and again and again as the PGA Tour tests this out. Let's see what. Dr. Bob, I know you're going to have some nuggets for us here. We're going to be going to a little break here in just a moment with some of our great sponsors. We'll listen to three or four of those tell us about their products and who they are and what they do. Stay with me, folks, on that because it's only going to be for you and help you. Then at the end of the show, there'll be a couple, two or three more commercials. So stay with me for the sponsors. They're so important to making the shows happen. And so you get great, great golf talk. Now, Andrew Novak, Craig, I texted you yesterday. I was just so upset. I would have thought that his putt, at least in the playoff, that putt would be somewhere near the hole. It was nowhere near the hole. And I said, he needs to get a lesson from you. You got my text, I'm sure. Okay. Tell us about it. What happened with Andrew? I was pulling for him. Love JT. Glad that he won. Pulling for Novak, though.
Well, he had played, 70 good holes of golf, and then it just went. In certain ways, why these players don't win, right? It's tough to win on the PGA Tour. We hear it every week, and there are certain players that win and certain players that don't. He didn't hit the shots when he needed to, and JT, who has picked up his game and putting himself in position to win. Play good golf and play good when he counted. I mean, there whether it's those are the things that you see those players do, and we wonder why certain players win more than others. When they're given that opportunity, they're able to push through and get through it. And JT was, and unfortunately, Andrew wasn't. He has all the talent in the world. There is no doubt about it. He is. He's a great player. I believe I was watching something today about JT saying the first time he played with Andrew, he shot 59. So he's a talented player. So it's just a matter of getting him in those positions that he doesn't, he gets more comfortable in those situations.
Well, it's been said over and over again that the players that win and win a lot are the players that look, and we've said this before in on these shows for years. On any given day, any of the 150 top male players, and this might apply to the lady players as well, can beat all the rest of them. Can they put it together for four rounds? That's where the pressure, that's where the mental game comes in. They're all pretty much, they have the talent. They're good enough to win. They've proven it over and over and over again. Even the ones we've never heard of and they're just coming off the Korn Ferry Tour. They pop a win on the PGA or the LPGA Tour, whatever. They're that good, or they wouldn't be there. And they can beat everybody else on any given day. But the great players can continue to perform under pressure, and they can deliver their talent under pressure better than all the other players. And that's why Justin Thomas is where he is. Maybe Andrew Novak is going to be another JT someday. He does have game. Who knows? He could win the US Open coming up. I mean, whatever. But, or the PGA Championship coming up. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did, or a lot of these other players. But with that said, it's the great players that win over and over again that can perform under pressure. Dr. Bob?
I agree with that, Ray, and I'd just like to segue into, if I could, into a major happening this week for the women, their first major of the season, the Chevron Championship, which used to be called the Dinosaur Nabisco Classic, and many other titles. I think it's interesting to note that the trophy for the winner is the Dinosaur Trophy, but it goes a little deeper than that. It was designed under the direction of a major golf champion by the name of Dave Marr. And Dave Marr, as we know, won the 1965 PGA Championship. And he was also a tremendous and popular TV analyst on the weekends for ABC and many others. And Dave was a great host in the desert, and because of his connections, he was able to be an influence in the early days of the Dinosaur Championship. Only time I've ever heard of a male men's major champion designing a trophy for a women's major. That's never going to happen again. But congratulations to that. And it also segues into something else, Ray. This championship was never considered a major for women until 1983. And it goes a little deeper than, and you drill down in this, you find that at that time, the Colgate-Palmolive president, Mr. Foster, at the time, wanted to keep the field a certain way rather than go over to the USGA side of its format. And because of the qualifications he wanted, the USGA and others said, okay, well, it's not going to be a major then because the qualifying was not the same. And just because of that, the following people were not denied a major from the original start: Jane Blaylock, Mickey Wright, Nancy Lopez, Kathy Whitworth, Donna Capone, Sandra Post, and Judy Rankin all won this tournament before 1983. So that to me is really an inconsistency. And Larry Bohannon, who is a good friend of mine in the Desert Sun and La Quinta, he wrote about this in his column. And it just speaks to the inconsistencies. This has always been a major for women from the start to where we are today.
Yeah. Well, and Dinah Shore, interestingly enough, in the Golf Hall of Fame. So
As an
let's leave it
honorary
at
member, as an
let's leave
honorary
it
member.
let's leave it at that right there. Craig Renshaw, Dr. Bob, and I will be back in just a moment. Have a listen to some of these very important messages, folks, and we'll be right back with you.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings and welcome back to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, folks. Ray Adams here with Craig Renshaw and Dr. Bob Denny. Thanks so much for being patient during the break, and maybe you heard something that's important to you. I hope so. Maybe a product or a service or something. I also want to thank for helping bring this segment to us right now, the North Valley Cart Care Company. Now, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, of course, but this show is streaming streaming all over the country, all over the internet, whatever. North Valley Cart Care is up in the North Phoenix area. Bobby Boyd is the purveyor and owner of North Valley Cart Care. He can do everything for your golf cart that you need. If you're stranded, he'll get you. He's got accessories, maintenance, batteries, service, towing, tire repairs, everything. You want to go to NV, standing for North Valley, but it's nvcartcare.com. And of course, I want to thank Squares Golf Shoes. And I want to thank Tour Edge at touredge.com, squares.com, Squares Golf Shoes, Tour Edge Golf Clubs. Their new 725s are unbelievable. That driver, amazing. I'm going to be talking a lot more about that this coming Saturday morning on the Saturday Morning Great American Golf Show, folks. So lots more coming about that. And we are very much so back with Craig and Bob. And with that said, Bob, you were talking about the ladies' schedule. We've got the big major coming up. And I remember when they used to jump in Poppy's Pond, Craig. Do you remember that?
I
they
do.
Would win, they won the tournament. They're in the desert. and then they would jump in the pond. And I don't remember exactly who started that tradition. Dr. Bob, I'm sure you know, but I want to say, please tell me if I'm wrong. I want to say it was started by Amy Alcott. Now, I don't remember that for sure. Am I right?
Yes.
Unbelievable. What a memory the man has. Craig, what about they can't jump in Poppy's pond anymore? I love traditions like that. And it saddened me when they moved the tournament a little bit. But, you know, times change. Modernity takes over. New venue. What do you make of it?
Well, I agree. And, you know, I know some people would say that the LPGA is a lot better than what it used to be. But in certain ways, it's lost a lot of its traditions and losing, well, the way I refer to it the same way, is the Dinosaur. When they used to have the event up in Wilmington, Delaware at the McDonald's, that was another big event in the way that it was. Those tournaments were very, very important, and it's unfortunate. I mean, can you imagine if the Masters moved that event and they stopped giving away green jackets? I mean, part of the LPGA lore was winning that event and jumping in that pond. It's a shame that it's a resort and that whatever reason they decided to move that event. But you know, it was a really nice tradition walking across that bridge and being on that green and jumping in. It was really nice.
It was something that I looked forward to all week as I watched the tournament, you know, on television, and I couldn't watch every minute of it, but I would watch a lot of the tournament. And, you know, I remember as a young person, Dinah Shore was there, and she went into the Golf Hall of Fame because of her contribution to the game. Famous singer, but today, if you said Dinah Shore, I don't know, Dr. Bob, people, probably 80% of people out there would say, who? They don't know who that is. So the tournament moving more toward modernity. I'm presuming it's a good thing for everybody, and we'll be following that major for the ladies. What else is happening around the world of golf? You have any nuggets for us, Bob?
Well, one of the sad nuggets had to be the Joel Damon at the Corrales Punta Cana Championship. Three straight bogeys, and as a result, Garrick Higgle, 25-year-old from left-hander from South Africa, is the winner. Joel, so that'll sting for a long time. He had a chance to put it away, but unfortunately, that's golf, right? And also, on flipping over to the ladies' side, Ingrid Lindblad, in her third start on the tour, from Sweden, she won the J. Eagle LPGA Championship in Los Angeles. She's the 16th woman from Sweden to win at least one tour event. And last year, she was on the Epson Tour.
There's another Epson Tour player that graduates to the LPGA and wins, you know, on this LPGA Tour, this golf tournament. And I'll tell you, this Epson Tour, folks, I'm telling you, if you will come to Phoenix, Arizona, and go to the Scottsdale TPC, now this is where they hold the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Phoenix Open. They have the TPC Stadium course where they hold that tour event. This tour event from the Epson Tour, the ladies, is going to be on the Champions course, both championship golf courses, of course. That said, it's May 8, 9, 10, and 11. Go to CarlisleLPGA.com. $12 for a ticket to get in. You're going to see some of the greatest young lady professional golfers in the world. And they're from all over the world. And they're very, it's going to be upfront, close. They're very approachable after their rounds, what have you. I'll be there. And it's going to be a lot of fun, all brought to you by Carlisle Companies. And, of course, I'm talking about the Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic. So we want to get that in again. But you mentioned an Epson Tour player graduating to the LPGA, because the Epson Tour is the road to the LPGA Tour. All right, Craig, when you look at it, I don't know. My heart goes out to Novak. Does he need a lesson from you, or was it just, was he just as a nervous wreck?
Just a nervous wreck. Those guys don't need, I mean, yes, they need observations, but they don't need lessons. I mean, it's just a matter of getting that situation a little more under control. And in certain ways, maybe it's just some bad luck. And he had a couple, you know, he's not as mentally, I don't want to say secure, but just doesn't feel as comfortable and confident there. And as long as he, you know, works on that, and he'll learn from that situation. If he learns from that situation, he'll be better. At the end of the day, maybe 10 years from now, right, we're on here talking about this, and we go, remember how he fell apart there? Now look at him. I mean, we all need to fail, and some of us are very, very lucky. Very few of us are lucky that we succeed in our first attempt.
Yes.
Most of us have to fall down quite a bit and skin our knees and elbows and crack a head wide open before we start to figure things out.
I know, I did that.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, very few people are like Fuzzy Zeller, and the first time they're at the Masters, they win. It just doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen. No, no, it doesn't. I remember when I first started my television show 15 seasons ago, I'd already been on the air with radio 10 years, both shows. And, I remember that everybody said, it's never going to happen. You're not going to do it. You won't get a pilot. You won't have a TV show. No one will pick it up. Even if you deliver them a 30-minute show, it's too expensive. You can't afford television. And it was all just no, no, and never, and no, and not, and you're never going to do it. And the more people told me that, the more I felt inspired that I was onto something. Because there was no golf TV show in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. And there was nothing like what I had in my mind, nor is there today. So you do, but I sure fell down. I sure learned a lot. I did get bruised. I bumped my head. And sometimes I woke up in the morning and was sick to my stomach, literally. Because, you know, you're making it up kind of as you go. So like Rory said, never give up on your dreams, Dr. Bob. I loved that from Rory speaking to his little daughter, never give up on your dreams. And I think if we're going to remember anything from that Masters and from Rory, yes, we're going to remember the playoff. Yes, we're going to remember Rory's up and down. Yes, we're going to remember a lot of the drama, the entertainment, which we've spoken about. But I loved his speech when he said, never give up on your dreams, Bob.
Yep. And I remember another PGA member by the name of Dennis Walters. He says, if one dream fails, get a new dream.
Get a new dream.
And I always liked that in Dennis, because he was a guy that regenerated and kept going as a paraplegic, and did so much to help inspire people around the world. And I'm proud to call him one of my friends. I have a little nugget for you, Ray. It's back to Jane Blaylock, who's done a wonderful job with the Legends of Women's Golf Tour, and also as a tremendous clinician. Well, people forget, from her rookie year in 1969 to 1987, she made 299 consecutive cuts on the LPGA Tour. From 1998 to 2005, Tiger Woods set a tour mark of 142 consecutive cuts. So all credit to Jane for what she accomplished in her universe.
Well, speaking about the ladies, Marilyn Smith, and Craig, you know about Marilyn, and you know that Marilyn and Bob, Marilyn was a friend of this show and Great American Golf Radio. She was a friend of my television show, Match Play with Ray Adams. She not only was on that show at least once, we did an episode with her, but then she was on these radio shows many, many times over the years. She was just wonderful, and she would always embrace me. I just loved her. And we lost her a few years ago, of course, right at 90. But her Marilyn Smith Founders Foundation provides scholarship money to young ladies coming out of high school and wanting to go play golf at the collegiate level. And these scholarship dollars help them to do that. Over $1.5 million over the years has been given out to qualifying and those young ladies that have earned these scholarships. And now the public face of the foundation is Golf It Forward. And you can go to golfitforward.org and you can get your tickets, see everything they're doing about Marilyn Smith Founders Foundation Legacy. Founders Legacy Foundation. I want to get that right. But anyway, it's now known as Golf It Forward at golfitforward.org. Well, this coming Sunday, April 27th at Kierland Golf Club, excuse me, at Kierland Hotel Resort, they're going to have what is known as Maryland's Tea. Now, the next day over at the golf course, they're having the Pro-Am, and there's going to be all kinds of activities and all sorts of things going on. But this coming Sunday, April the 27th, at the Kierland Resort Hotel is going to be Maryland's Tea. Now, you say, wait a minute, I don't want to go to a tea. Yes, you do. First of all, lots of men go. And Maryland like tea. And I love tea. Being from Irish Scottish families, of course I love tea. But it isn't about going there and drinking tea on a Sunday afternoon from 1 until 3 p.m., 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., folks. It's about being there to support the foundation, to support Golf It Forward, to support the young ladies. And there's going to be a lot of stars there, and they're going to be talking. For example, Pat Bradley is going to be there. Julie Inkster is going to be there, and many others. And there's going to be just a nice crowd of people. There'll be some goodies and some drinks, and you're going to love it. And you want to go to golfitforward.org to get your tickets. That's this coming Sunday, April 27th, for Maryland's Tea at the Kierland Hotel Resort in Scottsdale, a beautiful place. And right there at the Kierland Resort and the golf resort there, I filmed a one-hour special, the Father's Day Match for a Cause. That will be airing on Father's Day coming up soon. And we also, if I'm not mistaken, well, I think we filmed either once or twice there. But anyway, and I filmed other shows there. Lee Jansen, U.S. Open winner, was filmed there. And I believe Mark O'Meara was filmed there as well. That's now airing on thegolfnewsnet.com. Golfnewsnet.com. Go to the TV tab there, and you're going to be able to see my television shows. And right now you're going to be seeing Masters Champion, Open Champion, and a person that has a real, real interesting career and take on the game, Mark O'Meara. What a great guy he is, and what fun it was to sit down with Mark O'Meara. Okay. Well, gentlemen, let's keep going a little bit. You know, when you look at golf and what's going on in the world of golf, Ben Crane said something about disqualifying himself during the PGA Tour's Corrales Punta Cana Championship. The five-time tour winner went left off the tee and toward water on the eighth hole, then dropped and hit a second ball. And the shots started a sequence that led to Crane disqualifying himself due to a wrong ball infraction. The news came early Saturday afternoon via a short news release from the PGA Tour. Okay. What in the world happened to Ben Crane? Did you see or hear of this, Craig, or Dr.
I Bob? I did not.
Bob, did you see or hear of this?
I just read the same thing you did, Ray, and I didn't watch it live.
Well, maybe we'll take a look at it then, since we, and listen, it just came across my desk earlier today. So I'm, you know, I took a quick look at his statement. You know, then the other thing that came across my desk, and I wanted to, and I don't know. And again, Bob, you've been very good about, you know, kind of helping sort through stories out there that are in the golf journals, the golf gazettes, golf news here and there, and helping guide us through, you know, what's fake news and what's good, real, you know, golf journalism. I read something where Keegan Bradley said that it was kind of a little bit different about the intense pressures of being a PGA Tour professional It was on a program called Golf Subpar Podcast. And he said he revealed that players desperate for Ryder Cup spots have resorted to flattery, with one even hugging him after 15 years of silence. Of course, he's a seven-time PGA Tour winner. The Ryder Cup is constantly in his thoughts every minute. And he said that his time on the course is therapeutic, balancing the role that he has as a Ryder Cup, upcoming Ryder Cup captain. Bob, comments on Keegan Bradley there?
Well, early in the last year, and then leading up to maybe before the Masters, I was thinking that Keegan might have a chance to earn his way in on as a playing captain, but I don't see that happening. I think it was just like his ability to have a good year on his own, and that's wonderful. But a playing captain is not conceivable in the modern Ryder Cup. And I just want to continue that thought, because
go ahead.
Luke Donald has proven how much tactical and analysts and all his support team and what he's done and his choices and his analysts of people for depth on the team is the difference in the Ryder Cup when it comes to his thing. Luke is still going to be the favorite in my mind in this Ryder Cup because of his ability to lead teams that may not be the best on paper, but may have him differently from the heart. That's my opinion on Luke Donald. And I think Keegan's got a really tough battle at Bethpage.
You know, I think for a couple more minutes, let's talk about this, because we're going to talk a lot of Ryder Cup here on out. We're in deep into championship season. Yes, we have a PGA championship coming up. We have the ladies majors beginning here now. We're going to go all the way through the major championship season, and we're going to go to the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black on Long Island in New York coming up in September. Okay. So with that said, Craig, do you think that a captain of the Ryder Cup, we dominated the Ryder Cup. We won everything for years. Then all of a sudden, the Europeans started to beat us, and they beat us decisively. And then they continued to dominate when the cup is being played over in Europe. So Nick Faldo said, we're in your head. You might want to look at your players' scores. And that's an amazing interview with Nick Faldo, which I'll bring out and play at some point in the future, again, as we get closer and closer. But a playing captain like an Arnold Palmer or whatever was a doable captaincy. I don't know in this day and age that anybody should, even if they did qualify, should try to be a playing captain. I don't think so. What do you say?
I think if somebody qualified, I think, as Freddie Couples says, and as I've said, captaincy is so overrated. Yeah, I'm telling you, you could pick 12 guys off the street, and if they all had good golfers and they played well and everybody else didn't, it really wouldn't matter. We've overblown this, in my opinion, how important the captain is. I'm
really?
Sorry. Yes.
No, I'm listening. I was there. Hey, listen, I was media at the Schwab Cup when he said it, when Fred Couples said, you know, this is not a difficult job. This is not that big of a deal to be a Ryder Cup captain. Of course, that might be why he's not been one. I don't know.
Well, I mean, go ahead. In other sports, let's say, for example, in baseball, they would tell you that a good manager affects 10 to 15 games a year at most. The rest of it is won or lost on the field. So in 162 games, the coaching affects 150 of them. Or it doesn't affect 150 of them. That is such a small percentage. So we play, you know, 28 matches, and we think this captain has some major effect on it. If Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson back in the day had played their greatest golf in that week, there wouldn't have been a captain that would have mattered. It really wouldn't have mattered. So I just don't believe that. So I guess if we take that theory, then the reason the international team and the President's Cup won is because they've had crappy captains all the time. No, that has nothing to do with it. They just haven't had the talent that we have.
They outplayed us.
They outplay us.
You know, Bob, Craig, you've said this before, and I've just kind of always paused to take it in. Because over the years, I've often wondered, you know the plays, you run the plays. Why do we need a head coach on the sidelines of a football game? Players can go in there and play the game. But coaches are there. They're calling timeouts strategically. They're putting players in and taking players out. They're sending plays in that they think need to happen. Major League Baseball, you got the hockey, you got basketball, you got everything. What do you make of this whole captaincy in a Ryder Cup? It's because it's so critical now, we can't beat them. Well, at least over there. Do you think Keegan should become a playing captain, although he's likely not going to qualify to do it? What do you make of it?
You want me to respond?
I'm asking you to respond to Craig.
Okay. All right. If he earns his way in, go ahead and be a playing captain and watch the chips fall where you want. That's fine. I agree. Talent is what wins Ryder Cups, obviously. In the President's Cup, it's not even a question. There's no, the talent is flip-flop there. The United States is always going to be dominating in that because for one big thing, the chemistry between countries is not even consistent on a President's Cup as opposed to Europe. When they play and travel together. They're friends with each other. They exchange Christmas cards. They go to each other's weddings. I mean, from birth, the Ryder Cup is the biggest thing in their docket. That is huge over there. Believe me.
Some of them have said they'd rather win or be on a Ryder Cup, on a winning Ryder Cup team than winning a major.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all for Keegan if he qualifies. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's not realistic right now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, Craig and Bob, I tell you what, there's a lot going on there, and we have a lot more to come, and we have a lot of, great golf talk to come, and we're going to do that. Got some wonderful guests coming up, and we're going to continue to pursue the PGA Tour, looking at these range finders to help speed up play. We're going to look at the LPGA Tour. They're focused on speeding up play and what they're doing to implement some rules and ways of doing it. And of course, this coming Saturday morning on Great American Golf, we're going to have a very special guest along with, of course, Craig and Dr. Bob and you all and me right here on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. And this coming Saturday on Great American Golf. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks to Craig and thanks to Dr. Bob. And we're going to move forward to some very special messages right now. Back with you Saturday morning on Great American Golf, folks.
May 5th through the 11th, get close to the future legends in women's golf. The Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic returns to TPC Scottsdale's Champions Course. Brought to you by Carlisle Companies. The biggest purse on the Epson Tour means the best in women's golf will be here. May 5th through the 11th at TPC Scottsdale's Champions Course. Go to CarlisleLPGA.com for tickets. Be there for the best.